everyone has a need for love, to be loved. And some of us can maybe identify with some of the scenes there in terms of emotions that it might have, you know, provoked. Sometimes we go through life and we feel so lonely, feel a bit maybe like that old teddy bear dangling at the bottom of that kite, or maybe you just feel like that puppet, you're just kind of going through like, what is the point of it all, what is the meaning? You just feel you're actually detached from everyone around you, and, you know, there's a lot of lonely people out there, and we can sit here and thank God that we can know Him. We can know one that will never leave us or forsake us. But there are lots of people out there that don't have that privilege and honor just yet because for whatever reason, that they haven't come to the Lord, they haven't come to know Him yet. And so there's this immense need for love out there. And some of you wouldn't know where I was and Brother Ralph, 1 o'clock last night. We were somewhere in the mountains, far away, in somewhere between Ceres and Worcester in the mountains. And there was a trance party happening there, a villa partykie mense. If I went there looking like this, I would not have been alive today. They would have killed me, okay? I would have stood out like a sore thumb. I wouldn't have gotten away even saying that I'm dressing up or something like that. The people that you meet there, they really let their hair down. They came out of their shells. They came out of the different corners and areas all over the place. People travel far for these parties. It's a place where they experience acceptance, where they experience zero judgment, where they just can kind of be themselves with all their problems and have fun in the way they want to have fun and whatever. There's no rules, everything goes, no authority, a lot of drugs, heavy music. It's quite an eye-opener, quite an experience, quite insane. And a lot of people there that you won't... Definitely, you know, they kind of be undercover in society, but that is, you just know that that is what they live for. Those moments, those parties, those get-togethers, where it's just a mixed bag of everyone. And in many respects, I think a lot of people that have been rejected by society, that have been even rejected by the church, that end up finding their way to these places. And so, typically, these kind of people will be full of tattoos, full of piercings, you know, dreadlocks with glow-in-the-dark stuff in it. You know, walking around in the strangest outfits, psychedelic stuff, and every second person is either selling drugs or looking for drugs. And it's a worship experience for them. They are worshiping an idea of, you know, what's important in life. They are worshiping not our God, and we know there's only two kingdoms. So ultimately, they're bowing down to the enemy. They've fallen into that trap. And what they really need more than anything else is love. And that's what we went to go and do with, along with a bunch of guys from Shofar and Stellenbosch and Shofar and Cirrus. And we had this tent there. You guys have, if you've been to the SOS, then you would have seen a tent that says, you know, because you can't say, you know, Jesus loves you over there on a big sign and think anyone's going to come. Because those people, most of them have heard that message before. And honestly, the reason they're there is because they feel rejected. It's like that Lord Save Us From Your Followers DVD that many of you have seen. So we've got a tent that's psychedelic. Mattresses, cushions everywhere say spiritual readings, dream interpretation, spiritual healings, physical healings, you know, and people fall in there. There's a lot of sick people out there. There's a lot of emotionally damaged people out there. There's a lot of people that just need love. There's a lot of people that just came and parked there, passed out there, slept there. And we also do the face painting thing. And so people came for that as well. And so it just gave us opportunity to strike up conversation, to show interest in them, to love them, to show them that, hey, you know, there are people that care about them, not just for money to buy their drugs or something like that, but that really care about them. And the Lord did amazing things. I'd like to ask Ralph to share just a few short testimonies, and then I'll take it from there. Ralph.
Hi, guys. So we went to the SAS, like School Supernatural. So many amazing testimonies actually happened. I mean, like, we basically divided into one of three groups. Like, either the group that's actually at the tent itself, and the other group that's on standby, just like wanders around and posts people, and then in case there's not enough people, then you obviously just can sit there as another group that intercedes. And the session really opened the floodgates for the people to come. And there's, at a stage, there was like hundreds of people. There wasn't enough facilitators. So I had like three guys in front of me. And there's one guy that all of them basically had like came from healings. And I don't really flow the gift of healing. That's not my, I'm more like the readings and the cleansings and the face paints. So, So obviously they sat in front of me, and the one guy obviously had like chest pain. Chest pains, he's a heavy smoker. He gets like asthma, heavy smoking as well. And obviously he's like, even smoking something. I mean, it's not legal stuff. So he's like heavy breathing, and he couldn't breathe a full like chest of breath. So obviously I just prayed for him, and obviously the lingo you use is not Christianese. It's not in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you. It's nothing like that, which is good, but in the church that works, but not there. So you use the words like the Spirit of Truth, the Father of Lights, God of the Universe, you know, El Shaddai, no, they went to El Shaddai. I just basically use like, you know, all the other stuff. So basically the guy, I just visual for this guy, just like this like anointing, like healing oil flowing through his chest, and I just continue to pray for him, and then obviously ask him like to test it out. You know, just obviously it's 80%, you see, oh, it's just 80% right to pray on. And then obviously we reached the point where it's 100%, the guy's totally healed, and he's like just stunned. He's like, he can't believe it. And his friends are like flooding in there, like, okay, no, I've got this and this pain in the hips and the thighs, and everyone's got like, even the guy's like a groin pain. He's like, so you can put your hand there. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, put my hand in his groin area. And he's like, so I was like, you know, whatever, I'm just going to serve people, not worldly stuff. But he's just like, and obviously he got healed and stuff as well. And the guy's very athletic. He's a lot of like joint pains and stuff. And he's like, I'm just asking, like, turn your elbow. He's like, oh, it's healed, man. He's like freaking out. And so a lot of guys are like, that's just one of the many testimonies. I mean, I can go on this whole night. But other people prayed for as well. Just like one last testimony that one girl shared. I think it was very powerful, actually, because her life was saved. She came to the one girl came to her, and she just said she wanted healing. And the one facilitator girl, she's one of the interns, actually. She just prayed in the spirit. She's going to say, I'm going to just also tell them, because we explained to them, we're going to just pray in the spirit and be freaked out. Like, oh, no, it's cool. We're game for anything. So 99.9% of the time you can pray in the spirit. People are game with that. So she was praying in the spirit. Just felt this word, especially about abortion. She said, that abortion you're thinking about, don't do it. And the girl said, oh, that's all I need to do. And she stood up and she walked away. And then after that, about an hour time, she came back. Another girl prayed with her, and she was like scared because her boyfriend doesn't know she's pregnant, and her parents don't know she's pregnant. So that was a life spared. So we just trust in the Lord that entire life is spared. That was great stuff. So yeah, if you guys want any more testimonies, speak to Tents or myself or Rob was also, if so, went like earlier this year in Lenta. So yeah, the next ones will probably be like advertise them as they come, and I'll put a little clip together as well. I'm just waiting for the feedback from Devil and stuff, and just so you guys can see the stuff that we deal with. So all right.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it truly was awesome just watching God move. You could probably turn me down a little bit. I feel like I'm in a tin can. Okay. Yeah, I spoke to a guy, Angelo. I praise God for him. And he was stoned, passed out in the tent there. And other people had prayed for him also earlier the night. But he's like just experiencing the peace. There's just such a peace in this tent. He doesn't want to go anywhere. I mean, we were quite close, you know, we're in the stall area, which is kind of outside of the dance area. So the stage is like down there. But this guy, there's a couple of people, him and Keegan, they were just sleeping there, just lying down in our tent, like most of the night. And they just experienced such peace there. And yeah, that's you got those testimonies a lot. Every time after we pray with people, they just experience just such peace, and it's amazing. And then most of them, often they would come back and bring other people with them. And just God had specific appointments with people yesterday. And I prayed with Angelo after I kind of went to sit next to him, and then he kind of like sat up, just got him a lot of water. He was like super thirsty. I think that's normally from ecstasy and so on. And it's cool. The Lord just started flowing. So I'm like telling him, you know, there's water that you can drink that you'll never thirst again. And, I was just like, the Lord really, yeah, I was tempted to like start preaching, man. I was feeling it. And, you know, but the Lord was so faithful. And, you know, it turns out he went to church as a lightie. So it wasn't lost on him. And he's telling me then, you know, he knows his mother's praying for him. We had a long conversation. Anyway, during the conversation, the Lord's just dropping words in my spirit. And at one point, the Lord showed me this. He's called this man to be a preacher. And I told him, I've got something crazy, you know, to share with you. But just put it on the back burner there. I just feel I must let you know before you leave here that God has called you to preach one day. You know, obviously there's a lot of water that needs to go under the bridge, a lot of things that need to happen that you need to do in your life before you can get to that. But that is where you're going to find your fulfillment, and that is where your gifting and calling lies. And, you know, this guy was just blown away, like just by revelation after revelation that the Holy Spirit was just laying on him. And, it was truly awesome. And, I mean, after we prayed and everything and the Lord just really moved, and, I mean, he just like jumped at me and just hugged me like that. And, then I took his number and everything, so I'll be following up and seeing him soon. He's a single father. He's got two sons. You know, he's out there losing his mind at a trance party because, you know, that's the state of that's where he's come to in his life, you know. And it's a lot of people, you know, they've got nothing else to live for. And we could go and love people. But what I wanted to say is that early on in the night, even as we're driving past and we're just seeing these customers coming past, and everyone there is a customer in terms of, you know, way different from us. Not the type of people that you in your daily life would normally come across at all. Okay. Like really radically different people. And you will recognize, I mean, and you know, so full of holes and piercings and everything. Different people with a very different outlook on life and worldview. And immediately, you know, there's almost a bit of an intimidation factor. It's like, I know I'm here for a reason. How am I going to connect to these people? I've like got zero in common with them. And it was almost quite intimidating. And on top of that, I found myself, as we were then walking around, just in the beginning, just walking around, I found myself like just slipping into judgment the whole time, just judging the people around me. And then I told our team, Ralph was our team leader, I just said, look guys, please pray for me because I'm finding myself judging the people. I know the Lord loves them and I just want to, you know, repent of that and ask the Lord to change my heart and just give me compassion and love the people. And we just prayed a short prayer and we continued praying for the people and then went around again. And just the Lord just started pouring his love out in my heart for these people that I don't know and I don't understand. And I've never quite been there to that extreme, you know, where they find themselves at the moment. And so when we were like at the tent and we were outside and talking to people, I could just minister to them in love and the Lord would point out specific people and one could just go up to them and just start, you know, just show interest in their life and just immediately strike up a conversation. It's actually not difficult because they're so hungry for love and acceptance. They will connect with anyone. Because most of the time, as the church, we withdrawn from the weird people in society. We don't cross their paths because you actually have to go looking for them. You have to go looking for them at trance parties. You have to go looking for them at the bars. You have to go looking for them on street corners. The people that Jesus went to find, to seek and save the lost. We're not really seeking. The church isn't really seeking. The churches are there. People come to the church. They're people at trance parties, for an example, that would never set foot in a church, that would never otherwise be touched by God unless we go. Unless we go. I want to encourage you. It's a spiritual battlefield. It is really heavy, heavy spiritually. There's a DJ that came on at 11:30. DJ is super evil. And the music just like picks up a beat. I mean, that music is heavy the whole night. The whole time, and it is super loud. Your ears start ringing, and then this oak, he's got his songs and his mix and everything, and then it's like, I want your soul, you know, and in between. It is heavy stuff. And people are worshiping on the dance floors, like the altar. They are worshiping there. It is, and it's like hectic. There's like these entries to the dance floor. It's like portal stuff that you walk through, and like pyramid stuff in the beginning, in the middle, and stuff hanging there. It is, you know, it's to the max. It's the enemy's playground. But guess what? The earth belongs to God, so we will go wherever we want. And greater is He that is in us. But you've got to be prayed up. You got to have solid foundations. That's why, you know, there's certain rules that we have in place for the protection of the church. Don't go to those if you haven't done all the foundations, if you haven't done the SOS outreach training and so on. But we got to get there, people. That's why we do this stuff. Why do we want to do foundations and so on? Because we love our neighbor. Because our neighbor needs us to get equipped so that we can go and minister to them. Because don't think we can go there with wishy-washy thoughts and beliefs and, you know, not in unity and not on the same page as a team and think that we're going to accomplish anything from the Lord and not get hurt. You know, it is a battlefield out there. People get seriously hurt. So that's why it's quite, one operates as, it's a military operation for better, you know, for lack of better words. So it is, but it's hectic, and it was such a blessed experience for me. I just got a fresh revelation of God's love for people. And that through me, God can even love the unlovable, you know, in many senses of the word, you know, in our paradigm. These are people that we don't come across. These are people that sometimes we would think, man, it's going to take more than a miracle for that person to come to know the Lord. It is seriously, it is hectic, people. And I want to encourage you, it is a faith builder. It's life changing going to something like that. I'm on a high, and it's not because I was doing anything that they're doing. Okay. It's really seeing the power of God, healings, people getting delivered from emotional baggage and depression and all sorts of things. People that come to that party lost and with the very other ideas of what's going to happen that weekend, leaving the party knowing that God loves them and that their purpose in life is to preach the gospel and believing it and being excited about it. And Angelo, God did something in his heart. He left there so convicted but so excited, joyful in the Holy Spirit. Something changed in his life. And I just praise God. I was just a vessel. I didn't bring anything to the party. It's just the Lord, just allowing the Lord to love people through me. And that's the heart behind I Love My Table View campaign that we've kicked off. And that's a place where all of us need to come to. That's a challenge for all of us. Lord, change my heart. Because that was what sparked it as well. One of the crucial visions that sparked off this campaign was that there's a massive divide between the church and the unbelievers in this area. And they experience us as throwing stones at them. Judgment, condemnation. You don't point out the sin of an unbeliever. Jesus will deal with that in love once he gives his life to the Lord. With another believer, different story. With ons broer reg help op die pad, we are our brother's keeper. But when it comes to people out there, all God wants from us is to love them, accept them, bless them, speak life over them, be joyful over them because God is rejoicing over them. He created them. They are His special creation, the pinnacle of His creation. And so there was a chapter that I was reading over and over this week that the Lord took me to. Anyone want to take a guess? Hazard a guess. Come again? That would be a very good one. It wasn't that one, sorry. Sorry, it's not really fair to make you guess. Who would know? It's some say that it is, some scholars of the word say that it is the most single most important chapter in the New Testament. Romans 8. We had that over here. That is a very important chapter. That's it, Rob. You're the man. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read the original. I'm just joking. I'm not going to really read it, but that is the first English translation of Romans 13. Not Romans 13, 1 Corinthians 13. Give I speak ye with tongues of men and angels, shall tell ye I have not charity. I don't know if the guy was Mexican, but okay, this is the first English translation. We won't go through that, but it was just cool to find that. The next slide we won't go through either, but that is how long it is. Okay. Children is child little. Okay. Okay, next. You see they use the word charity where we've come to know in 1 Corinthians 13 often it says love. Some of your translations use the word charity instead of love in 1 Corinthians 13. But as in Clark's commentary, he says that that would make one of the verses redundant and contradictory because he kind of says, you know, if you give all your stuff to the poor, which is charity, but have not charity, you're nothing. So it's like charity, but have not charity. So it's that's why love would be a more appropriate translation of the original Greek. So you can call it the chapter of love. And so what I want to do is we're going to read through the chapter. We can just all read through it there. It's 13 verses, not very long. And, you know, I don't think it's a chapter that one's very easily going to comprehend fully what God is trying to say to us and even less be able to apply it fully in our lives. If we really got it, as some say, the most important chapter of the New Testament, if we live this chapter, we wouldn't really need to preach much. We wouldn't really need to encourage each other much. The church wouldn't necessarily be half full or half empty. But that is why it's something that we need to wrestle with. That's why I've been reading it over and over, and I'm still not, you know, I don't have the full gist of what it's saying, especially the second half. You know, there's a lot in it. But we will see. So what I wanted us to do is to read through it and then go through it a second time, verse for verse. And they say wisdom is found in the counsel of many. Like I say, I'm not an expert on this chapter. And I don't think any one commentator is going to be the expert on it or even all of them together. But we'll learn a lot from each other. We will gain in wisdom and understanding. And so I'd like us, if there's specific comments from the house to on each verse. You know, let's hear what you guys feel the Lord is really saying to us on that verse and even practically in terms of application, what it means for us. And then obviously, at the end of the day, the challenge for all of us is to strive with God's help, which means actually not so much striving, just allowing Him to do it, to live it. If we live this, there will be no more relational strife, no more marital strife. No more people out there that are feeling unloved, you know. It is a crucial chapter. So let's read it together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. No worry, this is all we're going to do today. So we're not going to go to 8 o'clock tonight. But I was really challenged in the area of love. And that is who God is. He's a spirit. He is love. That's, if you want to sum him up, if you want to summarize the Bible in one word, that's what it's about. That's the story. That's God's message to humanity. That's his message to us individually, and that should be our message to other people, is one of love. This chapter kind of summarizes some of the highlights about, you know, what is love. So I just want to hear from you guys as well, what you think about it. Because I just want to get you thinking. I don't just want to deliver a message. I want you to be thinking about it. I would love for you to think about it during this week and even read it a few times yourself. Even in, you know, you got a different translation, might state something slightly, give a different, slightly different perspective for you if your translation is slightly different. So I'd like us to wrestle with it, because this is what our campaign is about. It's about love. If I have to highlight the most important word, okay, it's the doing word in our campaign is love. So we need to know what that means for us. If we don't understand that, then we got to go back to the drawing board. So verse 1, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Any thoughts on verse 1? Really, I feel free to share. There's no wrong answer today. Okay. You know what that made me laugh at? Is that, you know, we can be so spiritual sometimes, and this is, you know, we pride ourselves in being spiritual as a church, connected with the Holy Spirit. The chapter before this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we learn about the different gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, how to use those gifts orderly so as not to cause greater confusion. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, which flowed in the gifts of the Spirit, but there was a lack of leadership and order, and consequently new people that would come just thought it's crazy because everyone's just speaking in the Spirit. They don't understand what people are saying. And so in chapter 13, he sandwiches this message with this chapter on love. Rather, this is the good stuff in the sandwich. And this is then our motivation for reaching out to people. This should be our motivation. They're the gifts. There's how to use the gifts. And most importantly, let's understand that this must be our motivation, love. So we can be super spiritual and we can speak and sing in tongues and do all sorts of wonders for the Lord. And we can totally miss the Lord. Remember Matthew 7, you can do great miracles and Jesus can say, get away from me. You know, we can miss the heart of the matter. And so we can see that we can be super spiritual, but if our motivation is not love, we shouldn't be out there ministering to people. Because why? Because we're just going to be irritating like a bunch of cymbals being clanged. I can't think of something more annoying. You're carrying on with your daily life and you have someone following you clanging some cymbals in your ear. Because you're trying to minister to the guy and you've got no love for the person. You are just freaking them out. You are annoying them. Don't even bother. Rather, don't do anything. Stay at home if you don't love people. Stay at home. Really. Let's not be super spiritual. Let's be spiritual, yes, but let's get it right. Let's do it with the right motivation, the right heart. That's why I needed to check myself yesterday. I'm like, Lord, I know I'm wasting my time here tonight, and I'm committed for the whole night. So I'm going to get it right. I realize, you know, I want to slap some people here. You know, I can't believe they're doing this to themselves. I need some prayer. I need to change my heart. I need to start tapping into the love of the Lord, because Jesus loves them. He doesn't judge them. The judgment of God happened 2,000 years ago. Okay? God is not angry at these people. God loves them. All God wants is for them to know Him. For them to know that He loves them. Okay? So, I realize that I'm going to be a clanging cymbal if I go out there and try and minister to someone. and you know, I'm probably going to get slapped. So, all right. So, yeah, that's any thoughts from you guys? Have you guys ever been in a position where you got spiritual on someone and they didn't receive it? Has there ever been a situation like that? You know, there's an honest Christian in the church. Okay. Rob, you're on a roll, my brother. Okay, so I've been there. I've made the mistake, and that's why I've learned to recognize that. Because guess what? If I walked in the Spirit 24/7, the world around me would be quite a lot different from what it is now. I mean, I try and so on, but I don't do it all the time. I don't get it right all the time. Okay, so I'm not always walking in love. So I've made the mistake. I've ministered to people before without loving them enough to show interest in their life, without really asking the Lord for compassion for them and to ask Him, but how does He look at them? You know, what is their pain? Not just what is wrong and what's the answer. How are they feeling? What is their emotional state? What is their pain? What does the Lord maybe want to do before He gives them the answer? You know, I'm kind of I need to compensate in that area. I need to trust the Lord for this much more than I have been doing. And that's why He's had me read it so often, and I need to read it a lot more and just really wrestle with it and get it in me and make it a constant reminder, one of many, but make it a constant reminder, because I will do more damage. You know, I'm a task-orientated guy most of the time, and then I just want to present the solution and not really hear the person. Okay, I see how it's going to go. We're going to be all night if I continue like this. Okay. If I have prophetic powers, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Okay. I have all knowledge, if I have all faith, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Okay? The first one, if what my speech is just spiritual, but there's nothing going on inside, then what they are going to hear instead of my spiritual speech is just a noise. Now, the second one, if I've got all knowledge and all faith, you know, what is inside, but I don't have love with it as well, then I'm nothing. A lot of people, we pride ourselves in what we know, but knowledge doesn't make the man. Okay? It's application of knowledge. It's knowing the author of knowledge. It's having love that changes us and that changes people. Okay? So, we are nothing. We are nothing within ourselves if we don't have love. It doesn't help just to know the Word of God. If we don't apply the Word of God, in other words, walk in love, the greatest commandment, to love God and love people. If we don't apply that, what is love? Let me give you a quick definition. Love is a choice that leads to action to the benefit of someone else. Love is a choice that leads to action to the benefit of someone else. Okay, so we can have all the knowledge, we can have all the clever answers in a Bible quiz, but if we are not taking action to bless people, dan sê die Here ons is nul op 'n kontrak. Sien jy? Any ideas? You, Piet. So the personal touch is important. Be human. People want to know. People walked away from the store. A lot of times they would say, you know, you guys are so real. You're just so real. Because obviously that by the end of our discussions and so on, they know very well what we stand for, who we believe, and the message that we have for them. And yet, it's completely different from their experience of church and Christianity. And one thing that they say is like, you're so real. It's like the personal touch. You know, let us dare not just slap someone with the Bible and with knowledge. We better make sure that we love them. People want to know that you're real, that you're human. Let us not put up a front and say that we're all of that, you know, and that we're just perfect and whatever. Immediately we try and elevate ourselves above other people. I realize I have to go quickly. Just think, if anyone has something specific they'd like to add, and I would love to hear your thoughts, we'll pretty much have to keep it concise, but just put up your hand and then you can shout it out. Love doesn't compel you, it's worthless. Like Rob says, which verse 3 also applicable. It's not about doing good works as believers, because that's actually a self-centered focus. I need to do a lot of stuff to get to heaven one day. We realize we're under grace. God did it all. We wouldn't be able to do enough things to earn our spot in heaven or in God's presence. Okay? So it doesn't help we go and do a lot of stuff with that motivation. It's about, must be about the person. We need to be other-centered. We need to focus on the person. It's not about the good works. We must do this stuff, but this is about primarily what is your attitude, what is your heart towards the people, what is your motivation? Are you doing it? Am I giving a lot of stuff to get seen by other people? Oh, what a good person, you know, for status. Am I doing it for myself or am I doing it for the person? Love is not selfish. Love gives without expecting in return. That is why, that must be our motivation for doing stuff. So yes, do stuff, good things, but do it with a motivation of just giving, not caring if anyone sees or ever hears about it. Yes, it's great. Sometimes we need to encourage one another and testimonies is powerful, but what is your motivation? Ryan, you wanted to say, you're going to have to shout, my friend. Yeah. Yeah. It's only through love that actually then we deny ourselves and we cut out selfishness. Love is patient and kind. Okay, it speaks for itself. People, we're generally not patient. We're generally not kind. You know, it doesn't come, we must realize this doesn't come naturally to us. The old dog that is still part of us that we're trying to starve to death. Okay, he's still there, and he's impatient, very much so, and he's rather rude. Okay, he cares about himself. All right, me, me, me. All right, so we must realize this is not our natural inclination. We need the Spirit of God to operate in this 24/7. You can get it right half the time, and the other half the time, you're going to be offending people far away from the church and God. So we really need to get this right. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Okay? It's not self-seeking. It's not self-centered. It's not building itself up. Love is about other people. Love is about other people. Lord, who do you want me to bless today? That should be prayed more often than, Lord, bless me today. Who do you want me to bless today? Realizing you're already blessed by God. You have been blessed to be a blessing. You're a son of the Most High God. You are in a position of favor and authority. You can make a difference. You. There's so many people out there, but ask God for one person. Make someone's day. Bless them. Like the guy who's throwing starfish back into the sea after red tide or whatever. I don't know what the story is. And someone says, but why do you even bother? There's so many. He says, well, for that starfish, it made a difference. We need to get that right. Let's focus on others. Not just ourselves. It's going to cost me time and effort. And what difference am I really going to make? No. You can change one person's life through obedience. there's a ripple effect in that. There's a ripple effect. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Just let the Word wash you. The Word needs to wash us. How do we become more loving? We need to ask for the Holy Spirit. We need to pray. We need to get God's heart. You want to become more like God because this is God. God is love. You want to become more like Him. You need to spend time with Him. You're not going to become more like Him if you're not spending time with Him. You're not praying to Him. You're not talking to Him. You're not bringing your own heart before Him, because there's two in the relationship. One has to change. It's not God. It's you. We need to read the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, washes us. It washes. We need constant washing. We need to undo years and years of brainwashing with the washing of the Word. We need to start undoing that. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You see that verse 8 there, I would actually have maybe put that 8 after the love never ends for our purposes here today. Because I think there the pause is there at the as for the prophecies, but that's just me. Okay, so love never ends. Love believes everything. There's not an end to it. Love hopes everything. When it comes to the things of God, there's not, love doesn't doubt in the goodness of God and the capacity of God and ability of God to operate through you to the benefit of someone else. There's no one on the planet, no weirdos or strange people that are outside of the scope and reach of God through you. Do not ever think yourself when you're in a position or in a conversation or a group of people, I cannot reach that person. You know, that Lord is laying that person on my heart, but I cannot reach that person. Okay, God's love through you is the most powerful motivation on this planet, and you can reach anyone. You can reach everyone. Okay, love never fails. Love never ends. Remember Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Sorry, we have to go faster. As for prophecies, they will pass, tongues they will cease, knowledge it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Just a reminder to focus now, looking back. It's all about love. That love never ends. That is the center. That's maybe the central thought that you can go home with tonight. But you need to go and wrestle with this whole chapter. Because when we get this right, lives are going to start changing, starting with your life. Because when we start focusing on other, when we start living lives that are serving, remember love is about giving, not receiving. When we start living those lives, our life changes. Our life changes at the speed of light, people. You can be stuck with an issue and you remain focused on the issue, trying to sort out that issue. And more often than not, God's answer for you, the solution, is just start serving someone else. And watch me fix that thing in your life while you're not so bothered about it, while you're not so focused on that thing. Just start serving someone else. Just start loving someone else. Start praying for someone else who's got another issue, another problem. Then God can bless us with our own things. Okay. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. This obviously also tells us the next few verses looking forward to the end when we're in God's full glory. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. You know, it shows the progression as well. It shows there needs to be growth. There's a place where a child is inherently selfish or more selfish supposedly than an adult. When we come into this world, we come in sin. You don't have to teach a child how to sin. We get saved, and that is where the transition starts happening. That's from immaturity to maturity. That is from selfishness to selflessness. Children, for the purposes of this analogy, are selfish, self-centered, lustful. I want. It's about me. Adults, a man in this picture is someone who is giving. A man looks after. A man lays down his life for his wife. He looks after his children. He serves the church and the community. That's a man. It's someone who's not selfish. Okay, this is something that we need to grow in. All of us. I'm preaching at myself here. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I want you to place your trust in God and to seek Him and to put your faith out to grow in these things. You know how you put your faith, you know how to put your faith out to grow in love and so on. You need to test yourself. Go to someone, to a person from a people group or a subculture that you wouldn't normally mingle with or touch with a barge pole. Okay? And see if you can love that person, if you can do something nice for them, or be in their presence for long enough and not say anything nasty to them. That's a good start. We need to progress from there. But we need to test ourselves. We need to put our faith out. We need to stretch ourselves. You're never going to know if you love people, if the only people that you surround yourself with are people that you like anyway. Go to someone that you wouldn't normally mingle with. Go to a trans party, you know. Go and do prison ministry or hospital ministry. People that you never come across. You know, people that are suffering. You don't like needy people. Jesus loves them. So you have to love them. Don't even worry about like. We're not talking about like here. We're talking about love. What does love do? Love gives without expecting in return. Love goes out. Love makes effort. Okay? We need to test ourselves. I challenge you to get out of the boat, out of the holy huddle. This is a comfortable place. We're all very nice people. We're all very ordentlik. Gekerkte mense. It's time to get out. There's a big group, a growing group of unchurched people, of angry youth and teenagers that won't come near to this church at this point in time. We need to go out and love them. Love them. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now in part, but then I shall fully, even as I'm fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Okay? Do you get the picture? Love is important. Do you get the picture that love is action? It's a doing word. It's something we need to get out and do. I can't just think that I love Charlene. I need to show her that I love her. Okay? It's a doing word. It leads to action to her benefit. You can read Dr. Gary Chapman's book if you're married or thinking of getting married. 5 love languages. How do you express love? If you don't express it, no one's receiving it. You got to speak it. You got to act it. You spend time, acts of service, gifts, all these things. We got to go and love people out there. That's our campaign. I love my Table View. Let's start with Table View. There's going to be lots of opportunities to love people. Every time we come together, there's an opportunity to invite someone to love them. Go to them. Take some time to visit people before you invite them here. Take some time to show an interest in them. Okay. Go and love them. Bless them with something. Everyone likes biltong. I know I do. You want to love me? Give me some biltong. Okay. I know you love me. You don't have to. Really nice. No. Okay. I'm manipulating. I'm abusing the microphone. I'm sorry. Okay, this last short quote before I'm going to pray, we're going to go home. You can first have some cake. Charlene brought us some cake. Okay. This man apparently, Clark's commentary, Clark says that he was not an educated man or a learned man, this man that I'm going to quote now. But he said he loves this guy's quote. And it's more to do with the first verse that he read about the clanging cymbal and everything. But maybe it's a picture that might stick and might remind you to love people. Okay? And not just be super spiritual, because I think sometimes that's where we err on the spiritual side of things and forgetting to love the person. All right, we just want to fix them. Jesus save you. Jesus needs to save you now. Okay? You know? The Lord is going to run away if that's how you treat the people. He doesn't want anything to do. He doesn't want to associate himself with you. Okay, if that's how we're going to act. So this guy's name is Josiah Gregory. And he said the following thing. He said, people of little religion are always noisy. People of little religion are always noisy. Last night was very, very noisy. He who has not the love of God and man filling his heart is like an empty wagon coming violently down a hill. It makes a great noise because there's nothing in it. This is an uneducated man that got a revelation from God about how to act in love. He says, you know, if we're going to go to people without loving our hearts from them, referring to the first verse, it's like an empty wagon careering down a hill. They only had wagons in those days. Empty wagons are bouncing and clanging and clattering down the hill. And maybe that's a picture that someone can hang on to. It makes a great noise because there's nothing in it. Okay, you're not bringing anything to the party if you've not got love in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you tonight realizing that we have a long way to go in this area, Lord. I know that I can just say that confidently, Lord God. We all have a long way to go, Lord, in terms of loving, really understanding and fully applying your love, Lord, in our lives for others. Help us to understand love, what it is, even as we read through that passage of Scripture over and over again, Lord, make it revelation knowledge for us. And then, Lord, make us loving people. Please, Lord, help us. We know we cannot do it by ourselves. We need the help of your Spirit, Lord, to direct us and change us. Change our hearts, Lord. We bring our hearts before you tonight. And we recognize that in many respects our hearts are filthy, Lord, with judgment and condemnation for people that are otherwise, Lord, that are different from us, that hold on to different beliefs, that look different, that act different, that hang out at different places, Lord God. Father, we so often fall into judgment towards them when you have called us to serve them, to love them, to speak kindly to them, to be patient with them. Lord, we've got examples of how we have not done this every day. Help us, Lord, from this moment to be more focused on loving people, Lord, that the motive of our actions when we do act will be love and not out of selfish ambition or trying to look spiritual. Lord, but let us genuinely go out and love people, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God of love. We thank you, Lord, that you have poured out your love in our hearts through your Holy Spirit that you gave to us. Even tonight, many of us were filled with your Spirit, and we have a greater capacity to go out and love people than we had before. Lord, give us faith to love people. Let us know that we can and that we've been called to and that you do it through us. We can just be your vessels, your love agents out there. And you've asked us at this time, we must focus on loving Tableview, loving our neighbors. So often, Lord, we go through life and it's about selfish needs and ambitions and desires. It's about us. What can I do to make my life more comfortable? What can I do to get my way? No, Lord, help us to ask the question, what can I do to love my neighbor? To love the person next to me, in front of me, behind me? What can I do to love them? I pray, Lord, that you will set us up with divine appointments, even in this week, and where you will drop it into our spirit that you've called us to love that person. And we thank you for the boldness by your spirit to love that person, Lord. To add action to our decision that we make now. If you want to invite God to use you in a greater capacity to love other people, if you want that, if you really want that, if you want the Lord to prompt you about a specific person that he wants you to go and love. Because it's hard to go out here and yes, Lord, I'm going to love the whole world. And man, there's a lot of people you ain't ever going to meet. But there's certain specific people that the Lord has on his heart for you. Even in this week, every day the Lord has specific people. If you want that, then put up your hand. I'm just going to pray for each of us that does so. Yes, Lord, you see our hearts here. You recognize the people, Lord, that really have a desire, Lord God, to be used by you in this way. To a greater extent, Lord. You see the willing hearts here. You see people that are saying, Lord, use me. Use me more in this area. Use me more in this way, Lord. Let my motivation be more of love, Lord, and less of myself. Lord, you see that, and I ask you to honor that decision tonight by giving them the capacity and the boldness to act on it as you reveal to them, as you lead them by your Spirit. Let us be Spirit-led and love-motivated. And let us be wowed by how you come and change lives in before our eyes. Let that be our drug to love people. Let us be addicted to loving people. We just bless you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. There are people out there that want to be loved, that can't wait for someone to say something nice to them, to encourage them, to tell them that there's a God of the universe that loves them. Lord, reveal these moments to us. Give us the boldness to walk through and love people. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Any prayer needs, love to pray with you. Otherwise, please help yourself to some lekker koek. Right. Thanks for tonight, guys. Thanks for your patience. As I said, we'll get better with the youth thing, right? And the timing and alles. Okay. Thanks, guys. Bless you.